fragrance of His presence is going to be on you and around you. And I declare now, over every single man, over every single woman in this place tonight, tomorrow and the next day are going to be marked by the tangible Shekinah glory of God Almighty. The sound of angels' wings, the smells of heaven, the fragrance. There's no other way to describe it, but you will know with a deep, deep knowing that you're walking and talking in the presence of Almighty God. Praise God. And that sound you're hearing is not your imagination. It's a real noise. Thanks for sharing that with us, Jen. Now, we're not laughing in the spirit. We're laughing because that was such good timing, that. Thank you. If you would take your seats on this very spiritual note, and we can have some lights on, and if we can have some background drums playing to the tune of that liquidizer. And are we going to take up an offering tonight? Someone's got to pay for that liquidizer. And thank you, Teresa. Pierre. Okay, so this is the time when you take the person's wallet next to you and write out a check as much as you like. Lord, thank you that we don't give so that you'll bless us. We give because we're already blessed. And we give as an overflow of our faith that says our God is for us and not against us. Our giving is not to manipulate you. Our giving is not so that we kind of are playing a slot machine of good luck. But Lord, it's the overflow of generous, kind, giving hearts in this place tonight. And we do. We thank you that this giving is strategic because it's for the gospel. It's that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will be preached in this place, both now and in the years to come. And if you should not come in our lifetime, to our children's children. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Teresa. Thank you, Michelle. Well, just want to apologize in advance for anything that went on here tonight that I had nothing to do with it. I was standing up here minding my own business and people were dancing around. Wasn't that great, eh? I mean, I know we don't do this every week, but isn't it nice just to have a time of refreshing? Eh? Under the waterfall. Under the river. You're going to make me work hard tonight. Thank you for your deep meditation and concentration. Spoke this morning a little bit about what comes out of our mouth. Bible says that our words have the power of life and death. That's why Jesus said, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's on the inside of us is going to come out, and what comes out is going to create a reality for us. In the same way, the world is held together by His Word. When we come into agreement with God's Word, we bring about a reality in our lives. If we're talking condemning, critical, negative, fearful all the time, we will create a reality around us because the enemy will agree with our words and he'll watch over them to see them performed so they don't return to his lowness without achieving the purpose for which they were sent. But God also watches over his word to see it fulfilled. And when we are in agreement with God's word, as we living in a new kingdom here on earth, in the midst of a fallen kingdom, we are ambassadors of a higher reality. We are ambassadors of a superior kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy here on earth, right now. That's what the church exists for. Amen? So we've been looking a little bit about this around the whole subject of God, place a God on my lips, that I'll be careful what seed I sow. Before I criticize, your Holy Spirit will check me, that I'm not going to agree with the enemy's work on the planet. I'm going to only agree with what you're saying. And when we do that, we are fulfilling the Lord's Prayer on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why the words we speak, I know for some of us this is quite an old teaching, you know, we've heard over the years. I'm not just referring to name it, claim it, frame it. I'm just referring to faith. And faith is expressed by what comes out of our mouth. Because I can't be believing one thing and saying something completely different. Amen? I think we've got to realize that we are ambassadors representing a superior government, a superior kingdom. And when we understand that, we will begin speaking like royalty. We'll speak like the kings and priests He's made us to be. Have you noticed that about when the Queen does her drive down the middle of the road and, thanks, Davey. You just be over there, mate. Yeah. You're queen. She goes down the road. You know, if some guy in the crowd did a cat whistle, you know, like, I mean, can you imagine the Queen like, I mean, it just wouldn't fit. How would the Queen respond to a cat whistle out of the crowd when she's going down the road? Exactly. Thank you. You did that so well. Do it again. You got the hand, man. You got the hand. Eh? It's just like, why? Because she knows who she is. She's royalty. She's not going to go down to that level of who did that? How dare you do that to me? Don't you know who I am? She's not going to start an argument in the middle of the... What's the main street that she goes down? Buckingham Road. Or... Buckingham Palace Road. How close is that? I'm not even upon me, eh? So yeah, she's going down. You know, if someone gets into an argument with her and says, I don't think you're really the Queen. Who do you think you are? She's not going to like roll her sleeves up and say, hey, you want to have a fight with me? Don't you know who my great-great-grandmother was? I could prove it. Who do you think you are telling me? No, she's not going to get into an argument. Because royalty doesn't drop itself down to that level. When you know that you are a prince, when you know you are a princess, when you know you are an ambassador and royalty, you don't have to apologize and explain for who you are. You just know who you are, and you do the hand. Thank you for not agreeing with me that I know that God is for me and not against me, and He has a great purpose for my life. You're entitled to your opinion, and I declare my God shall meet all my needs according to His riches and glory, and where He guides, He'll provide. And yes, I'm happy for you to mention to me how the gold price is fluctuating and how the world is in economic meltdown, but I'm just going to do the hand thing. Because I represent a senior government, I'm an ambassador of a higher kingdom, and I'm not going to be succumbed into the mechanism of this world system and become limited by what comes out of my mouth in agreement with your negativity, complaining, and grumbling. I'm going to declare that there's a higher kingdom purpose. I'm in a new kingdom. I have presence of Almighty God. I have His provision in my life. I have His purposes. I know who I am. Amen. Now we need a little bit of that like royal arrogance. We need a little bit of that like, don't you know who I am? I saw a picture the other day of a cat looking into a mirror and there's a lion looking back. I love that. I think we need to sometimes look in the mirror and say, you lion of the tribe of Judah, you. My big brother is a lion of the tribe of Judah. And the Bible says, as he is, so am I in this world. And I am one flesh, in the one spirit with him. And I'm living this world representing him. And every now and then, we need to roar a little bit. We need to let it come up. That royal roar needs to come up in us and say, I actually believe that the Bible says who I am. I believe I can do what it says I can do. And I believe I can be everything that Jesus called me to be. And if He wants me to fly, He can also provide wings. This is something about a lion that knows who it is. I mean, lions got that little bit of an attitude. We were in the Kruger recently. Hey, our visitors from Denmark, where are you? You got it? Belgium. You know, for a Durban boy, Belgium and Denmark are like, it's very close. I'm sorry about that. I apologize. Yeah, like you think of Africa as a country, you know. Hey, yeah. Like a lady, American up in Nigeria, and she's, hey, meets a Nigerian, she says, hey, yo, I've got a cousin, he was in Johannesburg, do you know him? His name's Michael. Okay, sorry about that. Anyway, so that's my excuse for the Belgium connection. Anyway, we're in the Kruger Park, and we're driving out of the park, and in the distance, we see this beast in the middle of the road, just running. Lion's just got a way about it, it's just like, just runs. It just ran in the middle of the road. So we drive up behind it, not wanting to startle it. He startled nothing. He feels nothing. He's just the king of the road. And you know, I'm the king of the jungle. He's just riding, running down the middle of the road there. We pulled up like next to him. What? A royal regal beast. He just knows who he is. You know, that lion's, he's not the biggest animal in the park. The elephant. Our friends from Australia and England, America, when you go, you'll see much bigger animals than lion. The elephant is bigger than the lion. And the lion isn't the tallest animal in the park. The giraffe's much taller. In fact, the lion's not even the fastest animal in the park. The cheetah, what do they run at? Like 90 kilometers, 110 k's an hour. I mean, the lion hasn't got a chance. Oh, it's not as big, it's not as fast, it's not as tall, but here's the thing. It thinks it is. It thinks it is. It just thinks it is. Like, I'm the king of the jungle. Like its story, Jen. Shall I try and do it? Lion's going through the park and bumps into the water hog. He says, water hog? Water hog. Warthog, who do you say I am? You're the king of the jungle, Mr. Lion. So the lion goes along, sees the giraffe. Giraffe, who do you say I am? You're the king of the jungle, Mr. Lion. Goes along, comes across a hippo. Who's the king? Who am I? Are you the king of the jungle, Mr. Lion? Comes across an elephant. Says to the elephant, who am I? Elephant puts his trunk around him, winds him up, hits him against the tree on the left, hits him against the tree on the right, hits him on the ground, tosses him over his back, and the lion lands in the dust with little squirrels floating around his head going tweet, tweet, tweet. That's how hard he hit his head. And he looks up at the elephant and he says, just because you don't know the answer, you don't have to be ugly now. Anyway, sorry, Jan, it didn't come out. You should tell the jokes in our family. Anyway, the point is, the lion has got an attitude. I think that's what I was trying to say. You like the flying squirrels, Michelle? Tweeting. Okay, now I've completely, you see, I was taught at Bible college, don't give an illustration that takes you completely off the point. Now my point is, a lion's got an attitude. A lion thinks he's the fastest, thinks he's the biggest, thinks he's the cleverest. And that's why he's the king of the jungle. And Christians need to almost get a bit of an attitude. They need to look in the mirror. Even if you think you're a kitten, and you need to see your twin staring back at you. And your twin's name is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And you need to have a little bit of a roar inside of you. Not a hyena heckle. Like a little... when the enemy torments you and persecutes you and things don't go right in your life. But a kind of a deep roar. You know, a cackle comes from the throat, but a roar comes from the belly. There's something in you that... Who loves the Lion King? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. The hyenas and the lions. I mean, when that lion roars, it's just like... And the whole place comes down. And the hyenas scatter. There needs to be some of us who in our spirits, say, as He is, so am I in the world. I'm not going to come into agreement with the complaining, heckling, squirrel, buzzards, and lesser insects of the forest. I'm going to come into agreement with the lion of the tribe of Judah. And when he roars, it's two of us. I'm going to roar with him. And there's something in us that says, what comes out of our mouth has the power of life and death in it. But if our minds are not being renewed to see who is living inside of us, then we will be in agreement with a lesser authority and a lesser kingdom. So, I know that illustration took me right off the point. But let me finish up by this and share a very personal moment with you. Janet and I had a big fight yesterday. Over, can you believe, you know, sometimes you look back on arguments and you think, what is that about? You know, I thought I'm, you know, the man of power for the hour, get out of bed, walk 2 inches over the ground, float into the kitchen, you know, and you raise your hand and the breakfast prepares itself. Shana glory, shanda rabba shabanda. And I said to my wife, Janet, why are the rusks kind of hidden behind the food mixer? Couldn't you find somewhere else to put the food mixer? Now, I don't know what I said wrong. I mean, the kitchen's her turf, eh? She's the despot of the oikos. I mean, that's her turf. So I know better than just going interfering. So I said, but here's the thing now. Now we're fighting about rusks. And you know how it always starts? It's like, I think you should find a different place to put the rusks. And then the gentle reply is, don't tell me where to put the rusks in the kitchen. To which the gentle reply is, oh, well, your kitchen's going to end up looking like your mother's kitchen soon if you carry on like this. To which the reply comes, stay out of my kitchen and don't touch a thing in my kitchen. To which the reply comes, don't tell me what to do and not touch in the kitchen. None of you know what I'm talking about. But you see, whether it's a taxi that took your parking, whether it's some boys whistling at you from the third floor and throwing plastic packets at you, or whether it's your wife putting the rusks in the wrong place, sometimes we forget that royalty doesn't have to have a street fight. Sometimes we forget in the course of life, in the course of events, that our words have the power of life and death. And that's why in Proverbs it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Come on now. Just when you thought your words weren't important. Just when you thought that you can say whatever you like and, you know, get away with it. Let me tell you, it depends on how long you've been married for, whether you're going to get away with it. The point is, we got to speak blessing. And we got to speak favor. And we got to speak peace. And we got to speak joy. Because when we speak anything else, we set in motion something that's going to come and bite us in the bum when we're not looking. Sorry for that expression. Something that's going to retaliate and give us more venom than we can shake a stick at. Because words accelerate and get harsher and harsher and harsher, and it takes one kind word to turn away wrath. Isn't that amazing? One word. No wonder that scripture says that words have the power of life and death. So if we are royalty, if we are ambassadors, then we need to talk like royalty and we need to talk like ambassadors. Amen? So thank you, Lord, that tonight there was a laying on of hands that brought empowerment into our lives. Thank you that there is a tangible sense of your presence that we have the right as your king's kids to live in. It's a presence of righteousness, peace, and joy. Thank you, Lord, that the cross has provided everything we need to live in this kingdom on earth today. And part of that is that, like the wise sower who understands the kingdom, we want to see a 60, 80, and 100-fold return of the seed that is sown. The words that we speak, the confessions we make, the things we declare, we are going to see 60, 80, 100-fold return. For God will watch over His word to see that that is the case. God is faithful. He will not allow that which has been sown in faith to be stolen by the enemy. For God is not mocked, and you shall reap what you sow. We do not sow to the flesh and the world system. We sow to the Spirit in accordance with the Word of God. And we will see a harvest. The words of our lips are going to go before us and begin breaking up the fallow ground. And the words that come behind them are going to be rich deposits that are going to make a demand on the soil. Our words are going to make a demand in the spirit realm. And we're going to speak blessing where there is curse. We're going to speak love and joy where there is depression and heaviness. We're going to speak abundance and provision where there is seeming poverty and destruction. We are going to align our words with you, Lord. We are going to plant good seed this year. We are going to plant good seed in 2013. And we're going to see a year of the Lord's favor. And there's going to be increase at every area, in our families, in our this church, in our workplace, in our ministries. We are going to see an acceleration in the acceleration. We're going to see an abundance in the abundance. We're going to see pressed down, shaken together, running over into our laps. We declare it. We say, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. There's no Hong Kong flu in heaven. There's no depression in heaven. We serve notice on these things here, Lord. And we say, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in... Thank you that in heaven there's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no condemnation. And thank you that in this kingdom that we've been born again into, there's no shame, there's no condemnation, there's no fear. The enemy comes and lies against you and tells you what you were. You tell him where he's going to be. When the enemy comes and lies to you and says you should still feel ashamed and guilty, you remind him that what Jesus accomplished on the cross. If there's something in your life that is out of line with God's purposes, then you need to change the way you think. The Bible calls it repentance, to think differently. You need to come into agreement with what God says is truth and resist what God says is error. And your mind will be renewed, and from your renewed mind, a new vocabulary will begin to flow. New words will begin to flow. A new thinking will result in a new speaking. You will speak like like royalty. You will speak like an ambassador. You will speak words of faith. You'll have a whole new language. When people listen to you, they might even think you arrogant because you're going to be saying things about yourself, and they'll say, who do you think you are? And you'll say, you don't know who my twin brother is. You don't know that as he is, so am I in this world, and I'm in agreement with his words. And let a bit of a roar come out of you. Let a little bit of an aggressive roar against the works and purposes of the enemy in your life. Where we come against all forms of apathy. We come against all forms of mediocrity. We come against vanilla-flavored, apathetic, half-baked approach to the callings of God. And we say to you, 2013, you are going to produce good fruit. You're going to produce a harvest. You're going to produce, press down, shake it together. You're going to produce 60, 80, and 100-fold. And as we declare it tonight, we declare it in faith. We declare it in faith. And if you're in agreement with that for your life, why don't you just stand up right now and let's just give the Lord thanks. Father, we thank you for your eternal purposes. Dave, one last song. Come, brother. One last song. Lord, we thank you for your purposes will be fulfilled and realized in our lives on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you. You haven't reserved all the goodies for the millennium, but you've said right now in this life, we can say to this mountain, be moved. We can say to this mountain, be uprooted and planted in the sea. We don't have to wait till Jesus comes. We can walk in everything that the cross achieved, everything that the cross purchased, and that we as citizens of heaven can enjoy it.